Welcome. It's good to see everybody. And this mitzvah Chaf Gimel, mitzvah sarifas peter chamor, the mitzvah to break the neck of a donkey from the back of the neck, if the non-Kohen who owns this firstborn male donkey chooses not to redeem it with a goat or lamb to give to a Kohen, so he must suffer the loss of breaking the neck of the donkey.
Excuse me, Rabbi?
Yes?
Since this is Yom HaZikaron, should we dedicate the...
Yes. I'm sorry, I wrote a note that I put on top of the... my note on top of my sources, and I said, yes, I just got off of the Yom HaZikaron Tekes, and yes, may we dedicate this learning and our tfilos at the end as well to the Kedoshim who gave up their lives for in protection of our state of Israel and to continue to protect her. I just made a set of tfilah for those who are continue to be involved in the protection of the nation. So our learning should be in their schus, and may we all be zochet to see shalom and shalva and reus from all the people who live in that dangerous area of the world. We see a de-escalation of whatever is happening. It should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should look at our deeds and our learning, and it should be a schus. Thank you for the reminder.
Amen.
Okay, so this mitzvah number 23, mitzvah Chaf Gimel, I would have to say breaks new ground from other mitzvahs. Let me explain. We have discussed in the past the difference between something called a mitzvah kiyumis and a mitzvah chiyubis. Some mitzvahs I'd rather not do. I don't want to do this, but if it shows up, then okay, then there's a mitzvah to do it. Right? No one can do all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Right? The Chafetz Chaim wrote a small pamphlet and shows that today, especially without a base of Mikdash, not living in Israel, at best we can perform about 200 of the mitzvahs. Be that as it may, there are some mitzvahs that say, if you don't get along with your wife, divorce her. I don't want to do that. I get along with my wife. If someone has, if someone's wife is promiscuous, he has to warn her not to be seen with another man behind closed doors, and then he has to take her for a ritual called the Shka Sota. Those are mitzvahs of the Torah, but they're certainly not chiyuvim, right? It's a mitzvah kiyumis, given the circumstance that chas v'shalom, if someone's brother dies without a child, then there are some mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs to do about keeping the widow in the family and naming the child, etc., etc. Actually, that mitzvah of Yibum is going to help us settle a dispute in our situation here. But first, let me say a little more about mitzvah chiyuvis and mitzvah kiyumis. And I want to use an example of a dispute amongst the Rishonim. And the case is living in Israel. The Rambam says that living in Israel is a mitzvah kiyumis. It's not one of the 613 mitzvahs. We are certainly mekayim a mitzvah by living in Israel. The Rambam writes very glowingly about that, and he made aliyah himself at the end of his life. At least he tried to. In fact, the trip that the Rambam took to Israel was this week. I believe it's Monday is the anniversary. The calendar is right of the Rambam making his trip to Israel. But the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says it's an absolute mitzvah chiyuvis to live in Israel. We're mekayim a mitzvah to live in Israel. If we don't live in Israel, we're mevatel a mitzvah, right? I'll give another example of this. If a healthy male tomorrow doesn't wear tefillin, he's mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin. But if he doesn't wear tzitzis tomorrow, he's only mevatel the mitzvah of tzitzis, so to say, if he's wearing a four-cornered garment that's higher than tzitzis, right? You can go your whole life without putting up a mezuzah and not violate the Torah if you don't live in a place that requires a mezuzah, right? clearing out your house for chametz is not a mitzvah chiyuvis unless you have chametz there. If you never eat chametz, so you're not violating any Torah law by not clearing out your house from chametz. Okay? These things are really quite obvious, and these are clear delineations of. I think we had this discussion when we talked about the Shagis Aryeh, who asks why we put on talis before tefillin, and it's not because of tadir v'sheinu tadir, because according to some explanations, tefillin is more tadir than talis. And the Shulchan Aruch says we go from a lower Kedusha to a higher Kedusha. We go up in Kedusha, Malin Bakodesh. First put on the lower Kedusha, the Talis, and then go to a higher Kedusha, the Tefillin. But the Shagis Aryeh in the end says the reason why no one says it's because of Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir is because these are two different mitzvahs. One's a mitzvah Kiyumis, one's a mitzvah Chiyuvis. Everybody agrees with that. Okay? When you say Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, it's only when the two mitzvahs are exactly the same. That's why this explains an interesting thing on the night of Hanukkah, on Saturday night. In Shul, Menorah and Havdalah are not the same mitzvah. Menorah is a mitzvah derabbanan chiyuvis. Havdalah is a mitzvah derabbanan chiyuvis in Shul. Lighting the menorah in Shul is not even a mitzvah at all. We just say it as a minhag. Not one person, not even the person lighting the menorah in Shul, is fulfilling his obligation of menorah in Shul. Why do we do it? That's a different shir. Okay? So at home, however, at home, when you light the menorah and the havdalah, those are exactly the same mitzvah. They're both chiyuvi mitzvos midrabanan. So at home, you do tadir v'sheinu tadir. Light the havdalah first. Right? In Shul, we can discuss why we switch the order. In Shul, we light the menorah first. Okay. Back to our question about the Rambam and the Ramban about living in Israel. There's an important nafkamina lahalacha. Rav Avadya Yosef and Rav Moshe Feinstein came to exactly the opposite answers about the shaila of a student who wanted to spend another year in Israel and his parents didn't want him to. Right? The same question went to Avadya Yosef, and the Avadya Yosef said, you don't have to listen to your parents. Why? Because the Gemara in Yavama says, Ishimo v'aviv tiro v'shabso sai tishmar. If your parent tells you to violate Shabbos, you don't have to listen. Ay, kibud av v'aim? Yeah, but you're supposed to listen to Hashem, not your parents, if your parents tell you to violate the Torah. If living in Israel is a mitzvah kiyumis, then you have to listen to your parents, which is a mitzvah chiyuvis against a mitzvah kiyumis. But if living in Israel is a mitzvah chiyuvis, we're chayav to live in Israel, your parents can't give you a command not to go there. They can tell you, I'm not paying for your trip. You can go. You can go gesundheit. Hey, just pay yourself. Right? They're the Congress holding the purse. So fine. But if parents can't tell a child, you can't go to Israel. Right? They can guilt them. They can do whatever they want. But the child doesn't have to listen. That's the union. Okay? So these are the differences between a mitzvah.
Rabbi Schwartz, I have a question.
Please.
But when Rabbi Ovadia Yosef said that, to me it seems wrong, because if you can use the Gemara, you know, as an analogy. It says about breaking Shabbos, but they didn't tell him to break Shabbos. They only told him don't go to Israel, because the same learning you get there, you will get it here. It's same Torah everywhere. So I think that's incorrect. I mean, that's
Camellia, Camellia, not a question of what you think. If living in Israel is a mitzvah, then it doesn't matter. Your parents aren't allowed to tell you to wear Shabbos. Your parents aren't allowed to tell you not to wear tzitzis. Your parents can't tell you not to wear tefillin. And your parents can't tell you to violate any of the mitzvahs of the Torah.
But you could tell you involved with a different mitzvah, and you don't have to fulfill the other one. You don't have to do that one.
It's not what you feel. Your parents can't tell you to violate a mitzvah, not murder, which is a very harsh mitzvah, and not speaking Lashon Hara or not eating Perei Shvi'i.
But they didn't say any of that. They didn't say
don't press back on this. If it's a mitzvah of the Torah, the Gemara says that there's no way a parent can tell you to violate the Torah. they can appeal to you, and they could, but in the end, the child has the permission, the halachic permission, to go to Israel. And you know, again, that's because
are they violating that iser? Like, well, titan mirshal, if they try to get you to violate the Torah.
So, do you have an example of this? What do you mean?
Well, they're telling you don't stay in Israel, which is a mitzvah. They're trying to get you to violate the mitzvah of Yishuv, of living in Israel. So, how can they go ahead and do that?
That was the discussion in the poskim. Now, the fact is, there's a Tosfos at the end of Ksuvos, you may know, that says that moving to Israel today is so dangerous that almost everybody who tries to go gets pirates board their ships, and we hear terrible stories. They say that now the danger is obviates the chiyuv, but as far as the parents, let's say in the middle of the Intifada or something, say, I don't want you to go back because it's too dangerous, then there might be something to talk about. There might be some poskim who will incorporate that Tosfos into the discussion. Otherwise, Rav Avadya Yosef just says it's a pure question of, can a parent tell you, listen, I want you to wear that suit to this family event because I want you to make such an impression. But the son says, I can't wear that suit. There's shatnez in it. And the parent says, I don't care if there's shatnez in it. I want you to honor me. And that's by wearing that suit, you're honoring me. Right? So, you know, you have to wonder what the commitment to halacha that parent is having. Right. But that's the question. It's not a question of what we think is right. Whether if living in Israel is a mitzvah, it doesn't matter what the mitzvah is. Right, so parents can't tell us to violate the mitzvah, right? Or they can. It's not a mitzvah for us to listen. Okay, there's derech eretz and there's way to talk about these things, but I'm just saying. Okay, so this is some of the background. Now, just before I go to our mitzvah, there are some of the 613 mitzvahs that the Sefer HaChinuch agrees, the Rambam agrees, but not everyone else agrees. In other words, what the Rambam says is a mitzvah, someone else says, no, it's not, it's a bracha. For instance, we did this in the very beginning. It says, Vayivarech Hashem Elokim es Adam lemor pru urvu milu et haaretz. So Hashem blessed man and said, now, is that a mitzvah or a blessing? That's the question. Is it a mitzvah to procreate or is it a blessing to procreate? So that was that we discussed this back at the time. Not everybody holds it's a mitzvah because it sounds like a bracha. It starts off as a bracha. How about this one? After the Korach story, and there his whole camp was swallowed up by the ground, it's to the Torah like rounds up the whole story and then says, "Let this be a lesson." V'lo yihyu ke Korach va'u ke adoso. So that people should watch the ground swallow them up, so that no one should be like Korach and his congregation. Would you believe the smog counts this as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah? What is the mitzvah? You're not allowed to behave like Korach and his congregation. What is that? Don't be contentious. If you're contentious, you're Baal Machlokes, you're violating one of the mitzvahs of the Torah according to the smog. I say he's the only one who counts this as a mitzvah. Okay? We had this one already. Laman tizkoras yom tizchom eretz mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. It doesn't sound like a mitzvah. It says observe all the mitzvahs of Pesach so that you can remember the day you left Egypt. That's why the Rambam doesn't count this as one of his 613 mitzvahs, the daily mitzvah. He counts it as an annual mitzvah on Pesach, but not a daily mitzvah. How about this one? He shomer, this is good for this week's parsha. He shomer benega hatzora'as, lishmor ma'od v'lasos, kechol asher yuroschem halavim, hakohanim halavim, tishmur lasos. Be careful and guard the mitzvah of leprosy, of tzora'as, to follow whatever the Kohanim tell you to do. What would you say is the function of this mitzvah? How do we fulfill this mitzvah? Guarding the malady of leprosy. How do we observe this mitzvah? By doing what?
No lashon hara.
Okay, that's close. All right, that's going to be the next mitzvah. We guard the mitzvah by, yeah. If you see something on your arm that you're worried about looks like tzaras, yeah, take it to a kohen. Don't disregard it. Don't let it spread. Don't cover it. Take it to a kohen. Right? That's what we mean by yishamer benega hatzaras.
Doesn't he already have tzaras at that point? If the kohen says, you doing what you're saying, wouldn't you already potentially have tzaras?
Well, it starts off as a small rash, and he's not sure. You know, remember what the Torah says in this week's parasha? It says, Hine ke nega tzaras. Right? It seems to me it looks like a nega tzaras. He doesn't know what it is yet. He has to go show a kohen whatever, even what is remotely resembling a nega tzaras. How does he know? He studied, he learned Maseches Negoyim, or he once had tzaras, and now it looks like it's erupting again. So don't hide it. Go to a kohen. All right, that's pasuk that the Gemara says. But the next pasuk after that, this is what Charlie was just saying, says Zochor Eis Asher Asah Hashem leMiriam baDerech B'Tzeischem miMitzrayim. Remember what God did to Miriam. Does anybody here ever remember performing this mitzvah? Anybody
here? I read the six things. So.
Yeah, do you read the six Zechiros every day?
No.
That's one of them. Now, you certainly don't have to remember what Amalek did to us every day. Right? That's just once a year. How do we remember what God did to Miriam? So that's what Charlie was saying by not speaking Lashon Hara. The Ramban, now, there is already a mitzvah. There is already a mitzvah called Lo Telech Rachil Ba'amecha. Don't be a talebearer amongst your people. And the Rambam says, Bichlal Zem Din Lashon Hara. Okay? So, but the Ramban says it's one of the 613 mitzvahs that every single day we should be aware of our social norms of not taking down any other person. Because think of what happened to Miriam when she did that to Moshe. Wow. Okay, only the Ramban counts that as a mitzvah. Okay, listen to this one. This one's from last week's parsha. Do you know that the Rambam counts three mitzvahs of the Torah, get this, to know what makes a kosher bird, to know what makes a kosher fish, and to know what makes a kosher animal. Then there are separate mitzvahs, which is, don't eat an unkosher fish. Don't eat unkosher fowl. Don't eat unkosher animals. But he counts as three separate mitzvahs that it's a mitzvah to know what these animals are. If you know, imagine that. If you know that what makes a kosher animal is that it chews its cud and it has split hooves, you are fulfilling a mitzvah. Now, we have a lot of other inyanim of kashrus too, like you have to know kosher symbols and things like you have to know what's a kosher restaurant, right? But that's fascinating. Where did we learn that from? Because it says, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe v'el Aaron v'yomer aleihem. And he says, now go teach B'nai Yisrael. So teaching B'nai Yisrael was their mitzvah, and now it's our mitzvah to know it.
So it's a mitzvah every day you don't eat an unkosher food?
No. It's a mitzvah to know.
No, but you also said, I understand, but you also said it's also a mitzvah not to eat.
That's a Gemara at the end of Makos. I didn't discuss that yet. Is that when you don't violate a negative mitzvah slosa, say you have schar.
Okay.
Right. Do you have a sister, Robbie?
Do I have what?
Do you have a sister?
No. Not that
and
I know.
Yet, and yet, you get reward for not marrying your sister. Okay.
Okay.
In other words. The Torah says don't marry your mother, don't marry your daughter, don't marry your sister. So many of the mitzvahs of the Torah, you know, All right, but at the time it was given, those were part sometimes normal in Canaan and Mitzrayim.
Right.
But so when Hashem chafetz l'man tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir, and it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who knows what everyone's struggle is for a negative command. My reward for not eating lobster is not so great. I have no desire for it. It's an evolved cockroach to me. But I know some Balei Tshuva who are just wild, that they if they could get a heter for lobster once a year, they would run to it. I know it's a Baal Tshuva who's been frum for 25 years. He still has gaguim for Thursday night, all you could eat at Red Lobster in Buffalo. Right? He says, I do everything, Taras Mishpacha, my kids are Tamidei Chachamim, but kids, you give me a heter for lobster maybe once in a while. Right? So his reward for not eating lobster is much greater than mine. And the Yerushalmi says this beautifully when it says, if your sins are like scarlet. So the Yerushalmi in Yuma says, what do you mean, shonim? Scarlet is shoni, tola is shoni. As a shonim. So the Yerushalmi says, we're judged by our age in addition by our actions. A 17-year-old who sins with an indiscreet violation of the norms of licentiousness might be judged a little differently than someone who's 77 doing the same. So Hashem judges everybody by their inclinations and by their proclivities and by their. So we all have different judgments, and that is so. That's the kashrus area. Okay. Now I am. Now I think that this is. Let's see if we're ready to go now into. Okay. I told you that one of these examples, the mitzvah of Yibum, would relate to our mitzvah. And of all places, well, not of all places. It's our mitzvah. Meseches Bechoros puts together two mitzvahs, or I should say four mitzvahs, as follows. There's Yibum and there's Chalitza in the Torah, right? There's also redeeming a donkey, because a donkey can't be kachim, can't be kaholi. But you redeem a firstborn donkey, which bears some kind of kedushas bechor, and you redeem it with a sheep. Okay, so now the donkey is no longer has kedusha. We did this last week, right? The donkey no longer has kedusha, and now the kedusha has been transferred to a sheep. If someone, for whatever reason, chooses not to transfer that kedusha, he's got to break the neck of the donkey. So, in your mind, what does the Torah prefer that this person should do?
Redeem it.
Now, in your mind, quickly think without thinking much. If he chooses not to redeem it, is what he has to do a punishment or a mitzvah? So look at the title of this page and you'll see.
Mitzvah.
Mitzvah Sarifas Peter Chamor. Right? Especially since the Mishnah in Bechoros says mitzvahs pidyon kodemes lemitzvahs arifa. Sounds pretty simple. Then it says, get this, mitzvahs chalitza kodemes lemitzvahs yibum. That's strange, because the Torah actually tells us that the guy who refuses to do the Yibum deserves to get spat at, right? People, Beis Chalutz Hanal, Kocho Yomer Lom, to someone who doesn't want to perpetuate the name of his brother, right? So why already in the time of the Mishnah did they say Mitzvahs Chalitza Kodemes, which will explain why we don't do Yibum anymore? That's already the time of the Mishnah. I have all Maseches Yevamos. If mitzvahs chalitza kodemis, why bother with all the Yibam laws? So first of all, why? Why aren't we doing Yibam anymore? What's wrong with it?
We can't.
Why?
It'd be bigamy, wouldn't it, if he's married?
Okay, so if he's married, let him do chalitza, since the chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom. But you're right about one thing, Howard, is that the time when we stopped doing Yibam, was just around the time of Rabbeinu Gershom's chayim. Right?
Does that mean the Sfardim kept continuing?
Absolutely. The Sfardim who allowed, the Sfardim, what they put in the ksuva is, I won't take another wife without your permission.
Okay.
You know, but the communities that continue to practice bigamy also practice Yibam. Hmm. But the fundamental problem is that outside of the mitzvah of Yibam, this marriage is a kares marriage, right?
Okay,
a man with his brother's wife is a kares offense if that brother left children before he died. Okay, if they're not performing the mitzvah of Yibam, this marriage, man with someone who was ever married to his brother, is a kares offense. Okay? Grada, a woman marrying someone who is married to her sister is permitted as long as that sister is
passed away.
But if the brother passes away but left children, that marriage would be kares.
Right.
Okay? So here's what happened. The rabbis were feared that someone may be performing Yibam without the proper kavanah, wasn't doing it properly. So they were very skeptical about allowing what otherwise is a kares offense. What if the brother had a child that we don't know about before he married this woman? You know, good Shabbos. Why didn't they think of that? Okay, yeah, when it started to become an issue at the time of the of Mishnah already, they said mitzvahs chalitza kodemes. Okay. All right. Okay, so according to the Chinuch and the Rambam, right, there are two separate requirements here, but the performance of either one is still a mitzvah. Whether I redeem this donkey with a sheep, or I kill it, right? The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid holds that there's only one mitzvah here. Let's read it inside, please. Okay, let's start the chinuch in the beginning. Everyone see it? Just the beginning. It says mitzvah chav gimel arifas peter chamor. Aleph la arof. Peter Chamor im lo ratzo liftoso. It's a mitzvah, arifas peter chamor. Right? So it's a mitzvah to do this. Nir mi divrei harav ha-machaber, that's the chinuch, Varon Halevi, dino saint tam le mitzvah arifa, kimavur b'choros yodam et beiz, tani levi hu hifsid mamono shel kohen, lefichach yufsad mamono. He caused the loss to the Kohen, so now he suffers a loss. The Kohen could have had a sheep. So you didn't give the Kohen a sheep? Right? So now, you get a loss. Right? Bnei Rambam kan perikid beis mibikurim locha alev v'sefer ha-mitzvahs kan monagam kein mitzvah zu da'arifa bichlal ha-taryag. So mitzvah to break the neck of the donkey. Okay, so everybody, these two count, the Rambam and the Macha and the Sefer HaChinuch counted as a mitzvah. By the way, did you notice that the Sefer HaChinuch just contradicted himself? Because when he says that if you cause a loss to the Kohen, so you get punished with a loss. It seems that the Chinuch agrees that this is not a mitzvah. It's a knas. It's a punishment.
Right.
What kind of mitzvah is this? It's a punishment. You caused him a loss, and now you're getting a loss. I'm forming a mitzvah by causing myself a loss. So let's continue. The Haravid, you see it? Okay, everyone with me? The Haravid hesigo she'enzu mitzvah. Adaraba. Averahi! Umazik mamon kohen! You mean, what kind of mitzvah is this? He's performing an avera by breaking the neck. This isn't a mitzvah. It's a knas. It's a punishment. This sort of sounds a little along the lines of what we said before about Puravu. Puravu is not a mitzvah. It's a blessing. I digress. Where does it say in the Torah that we're not allowed to live in Egypt? Anybody know?
Doesn't it say you can't return on the same...
So in Parshas Bishalach, when
Bnei Doesn't it say you're not allowed to return?
So, yeah, but the question is where? Where is that?
Oh, where does it say you're not allowed to return?
Three times in the Torah mentions this idea of not going back to Egypt. One is in Parshas Bishalach, when we were leaving Egypt, and we were afraid that the Egyptians would conquer, would capture us and bring us back. So Hashem said, stop here, just watch, stop kvetching, and wait for the salvation of the Lord. The way you see the Egyptians now, you will never see them again. That's what it says in Bishalach. Now, in Parshas Kisavo, it says, I will put you on ships. If you disobey me, it's the Tochacha. I'll cause you to be put on ships and you will be taken back to Egypt, the place I told you not to go. And the third place is where the Torah tells a king, do not amass too many horses, because if you, Laman Harbosus, if you want too many horses, you'll go back to Egypt to get horses because that's where they're raised.
Right.
And Egypt is a place I told you not to go. So the question is, where is that place? In Bishalach, it's a promise. In Kisavo, it's a threat. So either the source is in Parsha Shoftim, where God is talking to the king, right? Or, as Ibn Ezra says, the mitzvah not to live in Egypt, get this, is not mentioned in the Torah. It's a mitzvah of the Torah, but it's not mentioned in the Torah. It's Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? God only refers to the mitzvah. Don't go back, don't get horses. Because if you get horses, you're going to go back to Egypt. That's a place I don't want you to go to. It's a place I told you not to go. Where? No, it's not in the Torah. Okay, that is Ibn Ezra's Perush and Shoftim. It's very mistaber. Okay?
Doesn't it say you're not allowed to go back on the same route? Isn't that also something? The Baderech Asher?
Yeah, the Derech that I've shown you, you will never go back.
Right. So, theoretically, you could go back to Egypt, but just not on that same path.
Yeah, that's the famous Ritva in Yuma. Yes. That's the Ritva who explains why we have the Parshas Maaseh. You see, don't go back that with those journeys. But if you go back straight to Egypt with one trip, that's okay. Just don't go back the way you left.
Well, those Al flights are okay.
Yeah. So that is here is the question, is that when the Torah says I want you to do A, and if you don't do A, then this is what you have to do. Does that automatically make B a mitzvah? And the Ravid says, no, take a look. HaRavid is Sigo She'enzu mitzvah, Adaraba, Averahi, Umazik Mamun Kohen, Va'ayen Maharit Al-Ghazi. So the Maharit Al-Ghazi explains that it's based on two different opinions in the Mechilta. The Rambam and the Ravid are not arguing over a Metzias. They're taking sides. Because the Metzias of the Mishnah in Meseches Bechoro seems to be like the Rambam. Right? It says, Mitzvahs Chalitza Kodemes LeMitzvahs Yibum. Right. Counterintuitive from what we know in the Torah, from what I said before about Chalitza, right? Then it says, Mitzvahs, get this, Mitzvahs Pidyon Kodem Mitzvahs Arifa. Hello? The Mishnah calls it a mitzvah. So what's the Ravid's problem? Okay. So the Ravid's problem is that he rejected this Mishnah. He's paskining like the Ashita and the Mechilta. Okay, you all know what the Mechilta is, right? Mechilta is the Medrash Halacha to Sefer Shmos. Okay, here, let's read it inside. Maharit Al-Ghazi, Perek Aleph Os Yud Daled, Dibra Mascha Masnisin, Hevi B'Shem Godol Echad, Shetoma gam kein al ha-mishnah sham yud gimel lamed aleph. Lama amra mitzvahs pedia kodemes le mitzvahs arifa. Shenira de arifa mitzvahi. Seems from the Mishnah that it's a mitzvah if you don't do the pidyon. Hatani Levi, hu hifsid mamonu shel kohen, nira de leka mitzvah, ba arifa raki knas. It seems that it's not a mitzvah, it's a punishment. How can you say, you caused a loss to the Kohen, therefore I'm going to cause a loss to you, and the performance of that loss is considered a mitzvah?
So I'll take it on, right? So I would say that unless you're going to tell me that bechar is mamon hashevet, literally, and belongs to the Kohen, I would argue it doesn't. I would argue that it's a mitzvah because it doesn't belong to it's kodesh, right? But I'm not sure that it's is it really like truma that it belongs to the kohen? Doesn't it say Torah doesn't say give it to the kohen, right?
So that's very interesting. We do
have the chinuch
discuss what happens if he just wants to give the donkey to him.
The kohen,
yeah. If you look on the second page where it says the letter Gimel at the bottom, Ayin Mishnah B'choros Yud Beizim Et Aleph. This is actually a Mishnah before the one we're analyzing now. Nosno LaKohen. You see, I underlined it. Nosno LaKohen, if he gives the actual donkey to a Kohen, Ein HaKohen Rasha'i L'Kaimo Ad She'afrish Se'et Tachtov. U'mavur De'osur Litein B'chor Chamor L'Kohen Ad She'iftenu B'fonov. The Kohen does not have the right to keep this. There's another question that some poskim ask is what happens if he doesn't want to redeem the donkey or he doesn't have a sheep to redeem? Does he have to go out and buy a sheep? He owns donkeys. He deals in donkeys. But there are no sheep in the whole country. So what does he do?
I mean, Darabanan, he could use money, no?
Yeah. The answer is yes. He can do the value of the sheep.
Right.
Okay. In fact, the
well, what I'm saying is that maybe that's the difference between the two sheetos and the machir, between the Ravid and the Rama here, right? Maybe the Ravid, because the Ravid is saying that he caused a loss to the Kohen. It's as if to say that the Kohen has some property. And I'm arguing that, you know, maybe the Rambam says, no, it doesn't. Kohen doesn't have property here. It's not like Truma. It's different. That's what I'm trying to say.
Especially since the Kohen can't Mekadesh a woman with it. You know, it doesn't become Mamon and Kohen. It is considered kiddush merechem, but it doesn't have, certainly doesn't have kiddushas aguf.
But we're talking about the chamor or the
sad? The chamor doesn't have kiddushas aguf. Right. It's kiddushas damim of sorts, but it doesn't become the mamon of the kohen. He can't even, he's not allowed to use the actual donkey. So, but here is Maharet Al-Ghazi seems to be disagreeing with what the chinuch may hold, right? The chinuch follows the Rambam by listing this as a mitzvah, but in the Shoresh, he calls it a knas. So what the Maharit Al-Ghazi says is what explains the two different opinions between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Sefer HaChinuch wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. Because he, in within the framework of this, she doesn't write so much here. Look how short this mitzvah is. It's a little five lines on this page, two lines on the next page, and then another three lines. And he manages to do what the Maharit Al-Ghazi says, to do both sides. To say, one, it's considered a mitzvah, and yet two, it's a knas. Okay? Because it could be that the chinuch holds, unlike the Maharit Al-Ghazi, that both shittus and the mechilta hold that it's a mitzvah. Okay, let's read that inside. Ayin Maharit Al-Ghazi hevi b'shem gadol echad shetama gam kein ala mishnah sham yud gimel amud alef lama amra mitzvahs pediyah kodemes the mitzvahs arifa shenira darifa mitzvahi hatani levi who hifsid mamonu shel kohen. Nira deleka mitzvah be'arifa raki knas. Because of huzal, the zu machlokes harambam ba'arivid. The Maharit says that's precisely the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. Because of shemotza b'mechilta parshas bo, parshi yudches, that's at the end of the parshas bo, v'zelashono, v'imlo tifdeba arafto, mikan amru, shemitzvahs pediya kodemes lemitzvahs arifa. Then it says, listen, Davor Acher, another opinion is, Im lo tifteh barafto, Im einata podehu, orfehu. If you don't redeem it, break its neck. Hoil vi'ibadata nichse kohen, af nichsech yavdu. Since you caused a loss to the kohen, so you suffer a loss, ad kan lashon ha-mechilta. Im kein mefurash yotzi meh mechilta d'shnei perushim v'shnei drasha seish b'pasuk zeh. That there are two explanations. That's why it said davar acher in the middle. The leferish rishon arifa mitzvah elu de mitzvah p'tiyah kodemis. According to the first, there are two mitzvahs here. It's just that the mitzvah to redeem is preferable. Is anybody going to say that if someone chooses not to do yibum, that he's not performing a mitzvah by doing chalitza? Is anyone going to say that the mitzvah of chalitza, if he doesn't want to do the yibum, is a punishment? Is a knas? No one says that. Performing chalitza is a mitzvah, right? So too, performing the arifa is a mitzvah. Okay?
Rabbi?
Yes?
Under certain circumstances, the donkey, the core, might be worth less than a sheep if it's lame or sickly. So it might not be a punishment in that case.
In other words, you're thinking that it's in my best interests to just lose the donkey.
Yeah.
Isn't there something like counterintuitive that anybody would ever do this? He must have some hostility to the... And the Kohen is going to give it to. So why would anyone ever give up?
Yeah, I would tell you that the easier way out is just to go over to a Gentile, you know, and say, give me $2. Now you own the ear of this donkey that's about to be born. Right? If it's a male.
Right.
Right?
But isn't it cheap?
Any part of the ownership. And so your partner. Yes, your question?
Doesn't a sheep have a bigger value than a donkey?
I think in the ancient world, the sheep, the donkey has served much greater purpose.
It was a donkey had a greater dollar value than a sheep?
I think so. It was used for transportation, and it was used for carrying burdens.
So it's so unimaginable that a guy would do something like this.
Yeah. I mean, what Charlie said before is that, you know, it could be he knows it's a sick donkey and he knows that it's, whatever it may be. But, okay. All right. But I suggest to you that the Chinuch disagrees with the Maharital Ghazi. Maharital Ghazi says that the two opinions, the Rambam and the Ravid, line up to the two opinions in the Chinuch, to two opinions in the Mechilta. And I don't think that the Chinuch sees it that way. I think he thinks that both opinions in the Mechilta hold it's a mitzvah. The Lashon is that way anyway in the mission inside. Okay. Okay. Let's continue where it says Bracha Venira, Da'af Dehi Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma Mikol Makom Kiven De Mitzvahs Pedia Kodemes. Ein mevorchin al mitzvah sarifa. That's interesting. Why not? If it's a mitzvah, why not make a bracha on it? Well, because how can you say asher kedishanu b'mitzvah savet zivanu al mitzvah sarifa? Why not? You're counting it as a mitzvah. In other words, given the circumstance I have now, where I refuse to redeem it, this is my mitzvah. Let's press the envelope.
The sivanu al arifa. Somewhere. You don't say mitzvah. Arifa somewhere.
Yeah, don't say vitzivanu la'aruf. I get that difference, right? When you say al or le.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Torah on that. Look at Pesachim Daf Ches and all the Mefarshim.
It's the same reason that it's like you don't make a bracha on the tocha, right? We add psukim at the beginning, we add psukim at the end. You don't make a bracha on the tocha. This Gemara says in Megillah, right? So I say it's the same thing. You're going to make a bracha on killing.
Why make a bracha on shechita?
Different. That has a different purpose.
The famous taz in the beginning of Hilchos Shechita, where he asks, "What kind of bracha is this? There's no mitzvah for the shecht. You want meat? You got a shecht,
right?
So the taz says that the mitzvah of the bracha we make on shechita is a birchas hashevach. Thank you, Hashem, for giving us kashrus laws. It's not a birchas hamitzvah. He suspects. He says the same. It's famous Rosh. The Rosh says the same thing about the Birchas Eirusin. What kind of bracha? Asher osalonu esa arusos. What kind of bracha? Sanctified us and told us these things are forbidden to us.
Right.
It's a Birchas Hashevach. So too. So let's see what's happening here.
Is there a bracha for the sota?
Apparently not. Also, not familiar with any. You know, there is an Indian in saying Shechianu when you do a mitzvah with prokim, or a mitzvah just once, very rarely. But not if that mitzvah gives you agmas nefesh. That's why we don't say the Shechianu on the Sefirah Salomon.
You say Shechianu on tefillin? A brand new pair of tefillin, do you say Shechianu? It's leather?
So but there are some customs to say a Shechianu the first time you put on tefillin. Not a new pair of tefillin. But can you figure out why the minhag is to make a new bracha on a new talis? But not
a new talis? It's actual clothing.
It's actual
clothing.
Talis is like a talis. It doesn't mean a T-A-L-L-I-S means that black and white striped thing you wear in Shulon Shabbos. But a shnayim ochzim batalis in Bava Metzia is a garment. You know,
right. By the way... I had an aliyah this Shabbos. It's the first time I had an aliyah in over a year. Do I make a Shechianu?
No, for the same reason I just mentioned is maybe you say Shechianu the first time you get an aliyah. I don't know. There's a lot of Torah on this. But we treat talis differently than tefillin because talis has a din of a beged. It's like you buy a new suit, you buy a new talis. But tefillin is not worn as a beged.
Is a shekion on the talis on the beged or on the tzitzis?
It's on the beged. It's on the Begin.
It's on the Begin.
It's on the Begin. It's interesting that it says in this is too much of a tangent, but okay. But anyway,
is a bracha on putting tzitzit on a beged?
No, we don't. There is a Gemara at the end of Sukkah that talks about that question. We paskin that we don't make brachas on hechsher mitzvahs. We don't make a bracha when we build the sukkah. We make a bracha when we sit in the sukkah. We don't make a bracha when we make the talis. We make a bracha when we wear the talis. You don't make a bracha when you make a hechsher, when you make the mitzvah possible. You make the bracha when you perform the mitzvah.
So the first time you put on tefillin in your life, you don't make a shechianu?
No, there is a minhag like that. There is, yes.
Yeah, so, but you just said we wouldn't make it on a tefillin.
You say it on the performance, not
the
making.
No, I'm talking about by buying a new pair of tefillin. You wore tefillin your whole life. You're 50 years old. It's time for me to get a new pair of tefillin. Do you make a shechianu on that new pair of tefillin like you would make on them buying any new thing?
Well, why not? If it's the first time I'm putting on tefillin in your life, there is a minhag sometimes or whatever that you make a shechianu at that point when you're 13.
But tefillin has a din. Tefillin doesn't have a din of a malbush. The reason why you make a shechianu on a new talis is because it's like a garment. It's like you buy a new suit. You make a
shechianu. Yeah, but we don't make
shechianu. Not a malbush.
Yeah, but we make shechianu on Rosh Hashanah. We make shechianu on holidays. That's not a malbush.
That's different.
No, you make a shechianu. I know a fruit is also not a malbush. Come on, Robbie.
Yeah, so.
I mean, but there are lots of reasons to make a shechianu. But you'd say, if you're talking about Hakona Kalim Chadoshim, you buy new Kalim, so the tefillin doesn't have a din of Kalim for that rule, but the talis does.
Okay.
Right? But there are other things you can make. You bite into a new fruit you haven't had this season, so it's a new season, so yeah, you make a shechianu.
Listen, you make a bracha when you put up a mezuzah, even if there was a mezuzah there before.
That's an interesting question. No, that because that's a birchas a mitzvah. But if you put up a mezuzah for the first time in your life, is there a shechianu to make? I don't know.
What about on a new house? If you're putting it up on a new house or a new farm?
Kone kelim chadashim ubana bayis chadashim. Yeah, that's a separate reason. Absolutely. It's the same line in the Gemara. Guys, I don't know where the time went, but I'm barely anywhere here because I spent, if you recall, I spent a lot of time in the beginning just talking about different types of mitzvahs.
In the Torah, there are certain monetary kenasim, like 30 shkalim. Would that be a time of mitzvah when you actually make the payment of the kenas?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see that.
How's it any different? Why is the Rive claiming that because it's kenas, therefore it's not a mitzvah?
Yeah, there are different poskim. Yeah, you can say, this man has two choices in front of him. Don't seduce this woman, right?
Or pay the kenas.
or pay the kenas. So, in other words, it's not like here there are two choices, two mitzvahs in front of you. But there, if someone performs, if someone kills the Eved, right? There's his animal kills the Eved, so there's a fine to pay. There's a general knas. So the rule of hamod b'knas potter applies to this, right? The knas is always how do you know something is a knas is when it's fixed, right?
Right.
So doesn't matter what this person is, the person's value was. It's 30 shkalim. Doesn't matter what the woman was a queen or now there could be something called boshes in addition to the knas. Yeah, that could be. There could be. The boshes of one woman may be a lot more than the boshes of another woman. But that's going to be an interesting thing. Those mitzvahs don't come up until the end of the Torah. But yeah, the Ravid, of course, understands that that some of these mitzvahs, some of these are called mitzvahs in the Torah. Right? So it's just that this is such a fascinating just little discussion. I think we didn't get too far, but where you can have the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch pointing to, that this is mamish a mitzvah midoraisa. You fulfill a mitzvah. And there is he questions. He says that ein mevorchen al mitzvah sarifa. He says kiven de mitzvahs pedia kodemes. V'chein mashma b'tur v'shulchan aruch yoredeya dala pidyon mevorchen. And they didn't say anything about the arifa. V'achar kach al harifa ein mevor shum bracha. V'yein tur even a ezer. Maybe b'shem bala iter de mevorchen al mitzvahs yibum. The mitzvah rabba, that when someone makes a yibum, right? V'chalitza uvehilchos chalitza lo hevi levarech al hachalitza. But nowhere does the Shulchan Aruch say that there's a bracha on chalitza, so it's consistent, right? Rak harav beis Yosef b'Shulchan Aruch b'seder chalitza sham simen nunvav maybe b'shem seder Ashkenaz shahadayonim yivarchu aval lo matzinu bracha. We only have the bracha on the mitzvah that we want him to do, which is the pidyon. Aval kan kiven de mitzvahs yibum upediya chavivim yoser lo tiknu rak aleihem v'lo al chalitza v'arifa. V'chein nira pashut. Okay. Wow. The Avudraham, you see the note at the bottom? He quotes the Avudraham, who was a collector of Sephardic Minhagim. He quotes the Avudraham that says that the reason why we don't make a bracha on the Arifa is because it's a mitzvah haba b'aveira.
Like the Aveira.
Wow. The Aveira of not listening to the Torah and doing what the Torah preferred.
But the Torah gives
mitzvah. He's dancing on both of these chasanas here. Right? He says it's a mitzvah. I'm willing to call it a mitzvah because the Mishnah does.
But
it's a mitzvah that comes to an avera because you didn't listen. You didn't listen to the Torah, right? Fascinating.
Right, but you're saying chalitza then, following this analogy, chalitza is a mitzvah above avera.
Well, it's hard to imagine that since the Mishnah says mitzvah's chalitza.
Right. I know, but you said the Mishnah.
Rabbis can make takanos in order to avoid isurei kares. If you recall, we discussed this. This came up a long time ago when the first week when we spoke about the Sefer Achinuch mentioned that, I mean, it's a Gemara Nivamas, that we can fulfill the din of Pruravu if a man is having an affair with a married woman and twice he has children with her. And the mamzerim, they have a boy and a girl. He has fulfilled the mitzvah. Period of review.
Good to know.
But we don't say mitzvah above
that. Yeah, there you go. Why don't we say mitzvah above this? We discussed that there. He said that, look, the mitzvah is to leave replacement for you and a woman, and you did. So you fulfilled that. It's confusing, but it's confounding.
Very confusing.
How is this not a mitzvah above avera? You commit adultery and you get a mitzvah at the end of the day. And you're getting a mitzvah, right? Anyway, let's all wish Walter Huss a happy birthday. I think someone's calling him to wish him a happy birthday. So he probably has us on mute.
Happy birthday.
Anyway, be well, everybody.
I hope happy birthday.
Have a great Shabbos.